Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Ciao a tutti, everybody. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli. Stephen here. Just wanted to jump in and give you a little quick intro. We have another special guest for this episode. We went a little bit long, so I'm dividing this episode into two parts. So at the end, you'll hear it kind of slightly abruptly end, but that was just a natural place to kind of hopefully move on to the next part of the conversation. And we just kind of did this because otherwise we think it's a little too long for you guys. But if you think otherwise, let us know and we'll keep it the full length. But we kind of always set out to maybe make these quick half hour escapes for you guys. But today, a very special guest. So we're talking celiacs and traveling in Italy gluten-free. Also, you know, stuff I've hinted at before in past podcasts, which is, you know, not eating sugar and grains. This is something today that Ann and I both do and practice, and we get into that a little bit as well. So hopefully you guys enjoy this and maybe learn a little something. And again, all the show notes for this will be at livingvillacapelli.com/37, and that'll have links to everything we talk about as we go through this podcast. All right, enjoy. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, buonasera.
Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, everybody.
I'm Paul.
I'm Steven. And today we have a very special guest.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
I know, we're so excited, actually. So let me introduce her. Our guest today is an actor, comic, voiceover, podcaster, and cookbook author. As an actor, you might have seen on such shows as Free Radio on VH1 or Comedy Central, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and a few great TV commercials, which I'm going to link to in the show notes because they are really funny. One of my favorites. She's also an Amazeballs voiceover talent. So any advertising friends who are listening to this podcast, you need some voiceover, hit her up. She's currently the voice of TGIT on ABC. So anybody who doesn't know a voiceover, guys, she's the one who does the like the voice over the promos you see. So those when you're hearing advertising for those TV shows on Thursday nights on ABC, that's her.
It's her.
And she's also, of course, on the beginning of this show. She's also the amazing co-host of a wildly popular podcast called The Angriest Trainer Podcast, where she entertains while educating people about health and fitness, promoting a no-sugar, no-grain lifestyle, which we're going to talk about on this podcast. And if that wasn't enough, she's an amazing cook with a cookbook called Eat Happy that's coming out soon. It's filled with gluten-free, grain-free, and low-carb recipes. And I'm just tired talking about all that she does. And I didn't even mention that she blogs and does stand-up comedy. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Anna Vocino.
Yay, Anna.
Wow. You did your research, friend.
I did.
And you left one thing out.
What?
She is the first love of Villa Capelli.
Exactly.
Ooh, I thought that was Lucy, to be fair.
No. It's you.
It's me.
Yes, you are the mother of Lucy.
Well, we should tell everybody how we know Anna, because we've mentioned you several times on the podcast, which you probably haven't listened to.
I listen to a lot of the episodes.
Oh, really? I see. We talk
about
it.
Yeah, I do. And in fact, Vinny, my co-host on the Angriest Trainer podcast, was quite miffed that I got asked to do your podcast before he did. So you just know that, you have the Vinny Venom coming at you soon.
Well, you know, here's the excuse you can tell him. We thought that if we asked him first, we might think that he might think that we were hitting on him.
That's true. You don't want to put him in an awkward position.
No,
with all that.
No. Well, I there are some positions I would like to put him in, but awkward is not one of them.
Oh, good. To know. Yeah. Mentally noted.
Yeah. How is Lucy, by the way?
Lucy is fantastic. Lucy is my daughter, and I think she was like 12 when we came to see you guys, and now she's one of the most
amazing experiences at Villa Capelli ever. Anna's aunt, right?
Is it
your aunt? Yes. Mm-hmm. Your aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Renewed their vows here at Villa Capelli in this amazing little church up the road from that was dedicated in 1055 AD. That's like 11 years before the Magna Carta, by the way.
Crazy.
Right? Beautiful little church, beautiful in its simplicity. There's like nothing in it except for this amazing fresco. Anyway, we got this old Monsignor to allow us to have the ceremony in there. None has been had there since then, I'll have you know.
Anna officiated part of it too.
Yes, right? Anna officiated along with.
Can't believe they let a woman stand up there and help officiate.
Wait a minute. Anna, are you forgetting something? How about the other woman, the Wiccan, who also officiated?
Oh, that's true. There was a Wiccan there as well. I feel like because of the language barrier, it was a more inclusive Catholic ceremony. You know what I mean? They just didn't know.
And of course, the Monsignor had no clue what the Wiccan was saying, and I wasn't going to translate it. But anyway, so we have this amazing ceremony in this amazing church right up the road from us, like 500 yards up the road. Then Anna's daughter, Lucy, who is, 12 years old at the time, gets on her acoustic guitar, right? Folk guitar. Sings, not just sings, but just smashes the crowd's skulls with amazing rendition of Hallelujah.
Such a beautiful song.
Unbelievable. But the way she sang it. I mean, it was just, I have goosebumps. I swear to God, I have goosebumps right now as I'm thinking about it.
Is she still singing, Anna?
Yeah, she's singing.
You know what happened? There was a very, you know, she was in this awesome band. And then there was, you know, as bands do, the band broke up and she got in. She just kind of stopped. I'm hoping she'll pick it back up. You know what I mean? One of those things where you're like, it hurts, but then she'll pick it back up maybe when she's in college or something.
Because weren't they opening up for some like major bands, right?
Yeah, they were playing. They opened up for Hanson one time. It was really awesome. I know. And then that was a funny thing in of itself because all the Hanson fans like drove in from other states to like see this show at this rather small venue. And so it was adorable that Lucy and her band.
Can I tell you one of my rock and roll stories of I was never a musician, but you know, when I was kind of famous, I got called on stage to dance along. This is Atlanta. What's the big arena in Atlanta?
The Lakewood Amphitheater.
Whatever it's called today.
The Fox Theater.
The Fox Theater. With New Kids on the Block. Yes.
Whoa.
I was right there, front of the stage, dancing with New Kids on the Block.
Okay, I'm trying to do the math on how old you would have been there.
Oh, my God.
I feel like New Kids on the Block was just like a couple... I was just a couple years too old to really appreciate them because I was in that phase of like, you know what I mean?
I think it was like around 90...
92 was when 92, they were big.
Yeah, 92, yeah.
That's amazing. And they put you up on stage.
And all the executives from Coca-Cola, who I was working for at the time, doing advertising. No one knew that I was going to be doing this. And so I come out on stage and they told me later that all the Coca-Cola execs were like, holy shit, is that Capelli up on stage?
Oh my God.
It was pretty funny.
Have you written a book of memoirs yet?
No, Paul? No.
You need to do that because you have the most amazing.
I have dementia. Is what I have.
You need to write all that shit down before.
I know.
I'm telling you.
I'm actually thinking of writing a book called it's a How to Succeed book, but I'm taking the other tack because I don't like How to Succeed books.
Right.
You know, How to Make $1 million. Write a book about how to make $1 million.
Exactly.
That's the answer. I'm writing one about failures of an ad man. I want to write a book about all my failures.
I'll read the hell out of that book.
And it is so funny, I'll tell you.
We're not here to talk about you, Paul.
I'm sorry.
No, I want to talk about you guys on the pitch.
Oh, right. Ooh.
Yeah.
That was so fun to watch.
It was just
cool to watch the whole process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was kind of pissed the second time. I was pissed the first time, but then I was really pissed the second time when it didn't work. So I was like, oh, come on. Because I think we're so conditioned to want a happy ending no matter what.
Exactly.
However, I said happy ending. However, I know in this business, in advertising and in entertainment, it's just full of disappointment.
But it's not only that. I think it's, you know, after that show And Stephen and I moved here to Italy permanently because, you know, we're licking our chops and a tail between our legs kind of thing. Not really, but kind of. That's when I came up with this idea of, why not do a How to Succeed book based on how to fail?
I think that's a great idea. And in fact, that's what I like to tell other young actors is like all the mistakes that I've made so you don't have to make them.
Exactly.
Cut down on your learning curve.
And also, but don't be afraid of failure because you know, the biggest failure is going to come from when you really put your heart out there and for some reason, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with you or the work that you did, just some idiot backstage says, I didn't really like the way he was dressed.
Yeah, but it's the same thing in acting in the advertising. And it was nice to see people get to see the stuff that doesn't go to air. And it's not our fault. It's the client's fault. And I used to tell my actor friends all the time, they come in, I'm like, look, you were in the audition. I tried to help you. I tried to push for you, but it had nothing to do with you. It had to do with the main character was the wife. And you didn't look like you would match with her or the children. It has nothing to do with your acting.
Sometimes it has
to do with, like, look, they have the same nose, so we have to cast them.
Right.
I'm like, that's what we're casting on based on their nose? Right. I mean, it's just...
Hey, Woody Allen did a movie on it.
Really?
Yes, where they cloned the dictator's nose. To make another dictator. It was all about the nose.
It's true.
That's right. Which one was that?
I think it was...
Not Sleeper.
It was either Bananas.
Bananas. It was Bananas. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. Yeah. I must tell you, and I'm always amazed at your pop culture knowledge, but you're like slightly older, because we're the same age.
Ooh, he said older.
No, but we're the same age.
We're of a certain age now. I mean, that's basically what my entire stand-up is. It's basically like what happens when you turn 40.
Yeah, but what I don't get is like Vinny throws out these songs and you like pick them right up. And I'm like, you're my age. How do you know these damn songs from the 50s and 60s? Like you have amazing.
I like music, but I don't. You're right. I don't know current music. Like if somebody
I don't blame you there. But.
Sing a Flo Rida song, I would only know one.
Is there such a thing as current music?
Exactly.
Whoa, that was deep.
I know. Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
What I really want to talk to Anna about that's going to bore Paul a little bit. No, because I've mentioned this on the show.
You guys going to talk girl talk?
No. Okay. We're going to talk no sugar,
We're going to talk about our vaginas. What?
Ooh.
Ew. She's a vagina.
I don't want to talk about it.
Steven is a gold star gay. Steven is a gold star gay.
I don't know if you told me
ladies? No ladies pond, ever. Steven?
No.
Well,
I know. Sorry.
We missed this one, ladies. We missed our opportunity.
No, we're going to talk because I have mentioned this on the show and we never really go into it. I kind of hint around it and I don't know if anybody knows. But
Steven's gay.
No, the no sugar, no grain lifestyle. Which is very interesting. Basically, guys, what Vinny and Anna promote on the show is basically eating no sugar, no grains. It's pretty simple. It's basically what I tell people. It's kind of a version of paleo, but it's made much simpler because it's just don't eat a sugar, don't eat a grain. A lot of people get confused with grains. It's amazing what people don't know what a grain is, including like my parents who keep insisting corn is a vegetable. I'm like,
old school.
Yeah. Sorry, Reagan thought ketchup was
exactly. But I wanted to talk a little bit too, because especially with Anna, she also has a blog, which I will link to in the show notes. I'll link to all her stuff, but a lot of great recipes.
Not to her vagina.
No.
But people often ask us, like, well, how do you do it living in Italy? And when Anna came here, Anna's not only does this for health reasons, but also because she has to, correct?
When I came to see you guys was before Vinny and I started our podcast, and before I was doing No Sugars, No Grains. And I think that I had already been gluten-free for 10 years at that point because I was diagnosed with celiac in 2003, 2002. I don't remember. I was a youngin'. And I thought too, because when I was 28, when I was diagnosed, I was like, My mom was diagnosed first, and then she told me it's hereditary, so I had to go get tested for it. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm an actress. I don't even eat bread. Like, I was all uppity, not realizing that gluten is in a lot of things. And so the prescription for celiac disease is just don't eat gluten. Because what happens is that it's an autoimmune disease, and the body, the immune system attacks the villi in the small intestines and makes you unable, basically the entire gut gets kind of raggedy and raw and you don't absorb any nutrients. So when I was 28 and I was diagnosed, I had a DEXA scan and they said, oh, you have osteopenia, which is one step before osteoporosis at 28. I was extremely, what's that thing with the iron? Anemic. You know, I hadn't digested a nutrient. And I also was like, I did ballet for 14 years and I was a tiny little thing and I could eat whatever I wanted. And I just thought that was a youth thing. Plus, you know, most of my family is a pretty thin family, you know, and not realizing that I wasn't me personally, everything just went right through me.
Wow.
So if I had been diagnosed at a later point, maybe I would have been sicker, but I did have things like terrible allergies. I would get an upset stomach very easily. And I just thought those were things you just live with, you know?
Yeah,
so those things kind of cleared up, but then I slowly started to gain weight. And, but that's because I thought, well, if I have to be gluten-free, I'm half Southern and I'm half Italian. I'm going to make all the gluten-free versions of those comfort foods that I grew up with. Let's figure out how to make fried green tomatoes and how to make a gluten-free lasagna. Mm-hmm. And make them really good so that if someone came to the house, no one would know the difference, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And cut to me just slowly packing on pounds over the years. And it drove me crazy because I you know, nobody wants that to happen. I thought, well, I'm eating gluten-free, not realizing that the carbohydrates and the processed foods were what was doing me in.
One of the things that we found out here in Italy when, because obviously there were more and more people who have been diagnosed with it and realized that they have that, some of the gluten-free pasta here in Italy is really quite amazing.
It's better than it is in the States.
Much better. I mean, sometimes you can't tell the difference.
You really can't. And what I loved about going to Italy was I had gotten this guidebook, like eating gluten-free in Italy. And it said that the awareness in Italy for celiac and for testing is very high. Everybody knows what it is. And so I was like, this is going to be cool. And sure enough, when we went up to the town where my grandfather's from, San Nicandro, and we were there during the time when the town shuts down during the siesta. And we found some tiny little restaurant at the top of the tippy top of a windy street hill. And I told him, I'll just have a salad. And he was like, perché? And I was like, well, cause senza glutina, you know what I mean? I was doing the whole thing. Yeah. Sono celiaca and all that stuff. And he was like, but I have gluten-free pasta for you. I'll just make it. And I was like, you do?
Yeah.
They have it everywhere.
Exactly. They absolutely do. Yeah. But that's also why an article just came out recently that's saying that, you know, the Italians are the healthiest country in Europe, the second healthiest country in the world after Singapore. I don't know where that comes from.
Wow.
But, it's true. But Italians have this, almost to a fault, relationship with their bodies where, I mean, they know exactly what is going on with their bodies and what might be wrong.
I mean, they know like where their organs all are.
Yeah.
We always think, oh, my heart's right here. They're like, no, it's more the middle of your chest.
Yeah.
And
like
your
liver.
How do they know that? Do they teach that in schools?
I think anatomy is really big in the schools, I think.
It must be. But they have all the stuff, you know, we talk about all the time, colpo d'aria, where, you know, a draft can really, you know, can get you pregnant and that kind of stuff. But Italians are really, really in tune with their bodies. And that's why, you know, they're also, even in our small town here, there were a couple of, organic stores and a lot of celiac products.
They have in the grocery store, like in the big grocery stores, a whole section.
Yes.
And in 2011, when I was there, they didn't have a whole gluten-free section in the grocery stores here. But they had it in Italy in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. They have one at Auchan, like in this town of Modugno, like 15 restaurants.
Well, there used to be a whole shop that was, remember the specialty shop in town?
It was just
gluten-free shop.
Yeah, there's one in this town. There's a couple in Ruvo. It's pretty amazing. People are really, really health conscious.
But not even just gluten-free, too. I mean, and that kind of goes not in the same vein, but a little bit. People always ask us vegetarian, too. Coming here, we get a lot of vegetarians. And it's also it's actually very easy to do that in Italy.
Yeah.
I mean, because
you guys eat so many vegetables.
Exactly.
But it all comes from that whole notion of the poor cuisine, where, you know, people couldn't afford meat or even a lot of fish back then. So they got used to eating what they call greens from the campi, the campo, the fields. It's all field greens. So mostly because it was free. You would just go out into the fields and you would pick your greens.
But it's weird to me. Even vegan is pretty easy to do here. You have to watch maybe eggs and a couple things, but we use olive oil so much, so we don't use butter.
Right.
So it's weird, which we realized,
I think it was last year. We're looking at our website and our product list and everything, and all of a sudden it dawned on us. It was like, holy shit, we're vegan.
everything we have is vegan.
Like, okay. Well, it makes sense.
It does. Yeah. I mean, we don't. Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Well, when I met Vinny and he got me to do the podcast because he had a book that was coming out, and they told him at William Morris that if he was going to sell his book, he needed a platform. And then he called me up and was like, start a podcast with me. And I was like, no, I'm not doing your homework for you. And then he said, because Vinny is amazing at getting other people to do shit for him.
I can see that.
But he said, just read the book. And I read the book and it was so good.
I was like,
okay, we have to do this. And I realized, like, all things aside, first of all, as an actor, you need to have other projects going on or else you're going to go out of your skull waiting for things to happen. And then also just from the health standpoint, because I, again, was packing on weight and kind of not feeling that great and not knowing why. And thinking, oh, well, I guess it's just getting older. I guess that's just what happens when you get older. And then when I cut the processed foods out, which basically no sugars, no grains, really just means cut out processed foods.
Exactly. No, I tell people that
too.
That's it. Really, it forces you to do that. It has to. It forces you to.
And so then if you want to have a little gluten-free pasta or you want to have some corn, you have it intentionally and you have it to enjoy it because you're not eating it on blind autopilot and eating like Hot Pockets from the grocery store freezer or fast food. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's a very intentional way to live, which I feel like is how Italians eat.
No, it is. And when I transferred over, is that the word, transferred? And I started this lifestyle. For me, it was actually very... Because
converted.
Converted.
When you converted.
Converted. Like,
when you came out.
When I drank the Kool-Aid, which is sugar-free Kool-Aid. No, it was one of those things where it was actually fairly easy for me to do because we were already here, like you said, and it was already very clean, seasonal food. The main thing I had to cut out was the bread and the pasta. That's all I really cut out. I mean, and sugar here and there, the sugar in my coffee, that kind of stuff. But it's the kind of mindless sugars. Exactly.
And bread, too, is like not the end of the world to eat bread. But when you're shoving bread in your mouth for every single meal and it becomes like a, what's that thing? Just a mindless eating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not.
Yeah. No.
Enjoy, which I used to do because I love European bread. And this is long before I was diagnosed with celiac. And whenever I'd be in either Germany or France, I used to do trade shows. And I would always order just the bread and that European butter. And I would just shovel it in. Because it's just different than in the States. It's just different.
It's my kryptonite, bread and butter.
Yeah. It's a lot of people's kryptonite. I get it. And I also get that, like, if you're going to have a treat, that would be a good one to have.
Yeah.
But when you do it every single day, it doesn't always agree with all of our constitutions, you know?
No, it was great. I mean, and for me, it was weird. I just hope anybody knows, moving here, I'd gained 30 pounds. I mean, on my figure, 6'3", it didn't show.
Yeah.
I mean, but I stepped on the scale one time. We were in a warehouse and it happened to have a giant scale and I felt like I was in the Biggest Loser because I stepped on the scale.
That's awesome.
Beep, beep, beep.
I would never get on that scale. It sounds like my nightmare.
It was horrible. And they were like, 200 kilograms. Like, what? What?
How much is 200 kilograms?
No, yes, it was. I was 200.
No, you were not 200 kilograms. That's 400.
Wait, isn't that like 300?
Sorry, 100 kilograms. Sorry, 100 kilograms. I'm slight. 100 kilograms, which was 220.
Okay.
100 kilograms, which is 220 pounds, which was 30 pounds more than what I had when I moved here. So I was like, whoa, something's up there. So then, started listening to you guys and finding out more, so I just switched over.
And I had to live through it. It was not pretty.
And look at you. You survived.
Yes.
I did survive. Oh, me or him?
You, Stephen Paul. Paul.
I did survive. Oh, Gloria Gaynor.
Exactly.
No, but in the beginning, though, when Stephen first started on this diet, he was not a happy camper, I got to say. Because, first of all, he wasn't seeing results quickly enough.
No, I had a whole podcast with you guys about that.
Yes, he wasn't seeing results. He was all bummed out.
But then you lost too much weight.
Exactly. I'm just going to say, like, yeah.
I can't stop. Seriously, it's crazy.
Well, I think, too, this is the other thing. So the baseline is cutting out the processed foods, cutting out sugars and grains. Just don't. And the other thing is, too, in the States, we really have to read labels if you're going to buy anything processed, even ketchup, dressings, mayonnaise, peanut butter. You have to read labels on everything because they try to throw hidden sugars in there. So, you know, that's an issue. So it's basically just having awareness, cutting that stuff out, eating real food. Great. Fine. So then sometimes you have to take it a step further. So sometimes actually I find after doing this for years, it tends to be men who are pretty good with, they just cut out sugars and grains and they tend to drop weight pretty quickly. It's the women who have a little more hormonally complicated systems that a lot of times have to figure out. Like for me personally, I found out, I did blood tests to find out that dairy actually kicked in the autoimmune response and was destroying my intestines yet again. So I've had to give up dairy in the past year, but I went to two different doctors and I almost lunged on one of the doctors and wanted to strangle her when she said I had to give up dairy.
I can't believe that. I'm sorry. I feel so sorry for you.
I know. I'm totally fine now. I don't miss it at all. Maybe Parmesan is the thing that I miss. You know what I mean? The most.
Oh,
but
I survive on cheese. Oh.
Yeah,
but that's what I was doing, and it was making me sick. So sometimes when women say, well, I gave up all the processed foods, but it's not working, sometimes people have allergies to like legumes or dairy, or there are other kind of subsets that you can experiment with. But I'm also like, for me, when I was super strict and went really low carb at the same time, and that was not a good idea for me. Sometimes that works really well for people. It did not work well for me, and it messed up my hormones more, and I had to kind of fix that.
So I hope you had as much fun listening to that as we had recording it. Join us next week and we'll finish this out. Anne and I get into a little bit more, some specifics about eating no sugar, no grains, some stuff you can do like spiralizing. And we talk about foraging, Paul going out and foraging for wild asparagus. So join us next week and it'll be a lot of fun. We just finish out this conversation with Anna. And please remember our sponsor at audible.com. So if you head over to audible.com/Capelli, that'll get you a free 30-day trial and one free audiobook. So please sign up for that. I know people listening to podcasts usually do enjoy audiobooks, so hopefully you guys do as well. And you head over there. Again, that's audible.com/Capelli. And remember to hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you're listening to us on, so you'll never miss another episode. And remember to always sign up for our newsletter. And thank you guys again for all your support. And until next time, arrivederci.